Welcome back to Financial Spectrum. The first half of today's program, it's going to be kind of a fun conversation because I just love this topic. And that's the idea of to what extent are our schools and our families, for that matter, and our communities really preparing people for the jobs that lie out there. There are jobs. And the question about the jobs that exist, you know, we can get into the minimum wage, we can get into the quality of the jobs and all that. But the question is, the better quality jobs, the ones that are paying more, are people really being our citizens, our kids, are they being equipped for the jobs that they really want? Joining me now is the author of a new book called Job You, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. Now, Nicholas Wyman's a speaker and an expert on applying real-world solutions to the challenges companies face in finding skilled employees. He's the CEO of the Institute for Workplace Skills and Innovation, which develops mentoring programs for corporations and places people in apprenticeship and training programs globally. He's got an MBA and studied at Harvard Business School and Kennedy School of Government. So, and welcome to the program, Nick Wyman. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm really good. Really good.
Well, I appreciate your joining us. This is a kind of a fresh look at things. There's a lot of resources we profile on the program, you know, on an occasional basis that talk about how to find the funding for college, how to find the right loans, how to, you know, best prepare to get into the right school, because it all has, you know, so much to do with somebody's financial well-being down the road. But one of the soapbox I jump on a regular basis, the amount of debt that a lot of students accumulate coming out with degrees that mean nothing. They are not in no way correlated with the amount of debt that that student's going to have when they get out of school. And then we've got all sorts of government programs to try to forgive that debt, and it becomes a public burden, as opposed to equipping people for the kind of jobs that they really want and the kind of positions that companies have openings. Are you finding the same situation?
Look, you're absolutely on the money there. There's no question that for many people, they go off to college and accrue a fairly significant loan. And I've met some individuals who have an incredible burden of debt, and it's very difficult for them to move forward. And the challenge is for them, if you look back and see how it came to be, is that they entered into a college program, they didn't do their research, they haven't looked at the jobs which are becoming available, and of course with a changing global economy, employers need a different type of skill. So to future-proof yourself, you really need to be looking at the options available, and that's what I'm trying to get out the message in JobU, is really do your homework and see what options are available.
From your perspective, what is available in terms of jobs? For an awful lot of us, we kind of read about the idea that it's a bit of a barbell economy now. There's a lot of low-level service jobs that are basically paying minimum wage, and that's not just in the United States but elsewhere in the developed world. And then there's the highly skilled positions, the executive positions, the white-collar type stuff. But a lot of the in-between jobs, the ones that might pay a nice hourly wage or maybe even a nice salary but just not at the executive suite, that they're hard to come by. Is that true?
Well, you know, if you look at the number of Americans out of work, you know, you've got 9.7 million people out of work.
Yeah.
Yet the U.S. manufacturing industry, if we look at that in advanced manufacturing, there's a reported 600,000 jobs that remain unfilled. And this is this skills gap that you hear people talk about, or I like to call it people without jobs and jobs without people. I was in Chicago last week, and I was talking to people in the IT sector there. There's 30,000 unfilled jobs. These are technical, based jobs. Really interesting and exciting jobs. And so we have this labour market mismatch. And I think that, you know, these are not minimum wage jobs by any stretch of the imagination. As you say, a lot of these jobs are very solid middle income jobs where you can earn. There's ways into these jobs where you can earn and learn. And I think that's a really valuable thing for people to explore.
Yeah. And I'm not going to dwell on this, but and Nick, I'm not going to put you on the spot on this, but we're almost led to believe by the political class, the elite class, that raising the minimum wage is going to be a bit of a savior system for a lot of people at the low income levels, But the reality is, if we're basically training or raising an expectation among our youth that minimum wage is the way to build a career and stay there and just expect the government to keep raising, giving them a raise every year legislatively, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help that as individuals. It doesn't help the businesses who end up probably not even hiring anybody. It's a lose-lose proposition. The reality is we need to find ways to match people with their skill set and their desires with the kind of jobs that are out there.
Well, look, I think it's the role of any government to create a situation where employers want to employ.
Yeah.
And I think that's their role. They want to make it as easy as it is for small, medium, and large businesses to want to employ people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the individual in this, I think we really want people to aim high. And I think that people shouldn't focus on, you know, minimum wage and, you know, should really set their expectations.
Sure.
There's no question there's opportunities out there. And, you know, you touched on earlier this idea of apprenticeships. Huge
yep.
opportunity as a pathway, not into just a skilled or vocational occupation. A lot of these apprenticeships are leading into outstanding opportunities in engineering roles
mm-hmm.
that then flow into management and then into senior management and executive roles. You know, companies value people who actually have some hands-on experience.
Now, to what extent, Nick, are companies, particularly, let's say, engineering companies, maybe defense contractors and others, to what extent are they kind of locked into a system where they can't elevate individuals to positions that match their skills and their capabilities and, you know, the excitement of seeing people grow in their job, unless they've got certain degrees under their belt? I mean, I've seen this in action where an individual can't really, even though he's got far better skills and insight than the guy next to him, if he doesn't have the right degree, he's not going to advance in the company. It kind of forces individuals to go out and, again, get maybe unnecessary years of college when they could advance through an apprenticeship type of program. Is that also something, a bit of a reality in our system right now?
Look, absolutely. There are some employers who almost, you could call it, sabotage their own efforts to develop a productive workforce by focusing on quickly finding talent versus building up talent. But what we're also seeing, and what I'm seeing as I move around the country, is that employers' hiring practices are changing.
Mm.
As the pressure is being placed on these organizations globally, you know, China is about to take over as the world's largest economy after 140 years of US domination. This is really changing the way that, you know, US companies are thinking about skilling up their workforce. So I think for the individual, they really need to look at companies and look at the opportunities they offer. But there's some, you know, fantastic programs now which are connecting young people into some incredible corporations. There's some technical schools. There's a school model which is really successful now. There's 27 schools running in a P-TECH style model. So this is a 9 through 14 model where students are actually first in line for jobs with their sponsoring or employment partners. So this is a new type of education. So we're actually starting to see, which is wonderful, this is actually, the conversation is now starting in high school.
Yeah. Which is where it should begin. For an awful lot of young people, going off to college is not the only way to necessarily build the kind of career that could, you know, be exciting, sustain a family, and to grow wealth. That there are all sorts of other avenues. I've known some young people that have gotten into some of the hard skills like plumbing or welding or things like that. They don't need necessarily a college degree to go there, but those skills are in demand right now.
Well, I think if you look at, you mentioned the plumbing industry, that's a classic example of an industry that is evolving, you know, with the movement towards sustainability. It's still the same core skills. It's still connecting pipes, but it's connecting pipes in a different way. But there's also important to note there that, you know, when we're talking, and when I'm talking about an apprenticeship, I'm just not talking about technical trades.
Yeah.
I'm talking about apprenticeships where people can learn and earn. These are flowing through into all sorts of new and exciting industries.
Sure.
And they can lead to some really interesting pathways. And if you look to countries like the United Kingdom, since 2010, the number of apprentices in the UK has doubled from 400,000 to 800,000 people are choosing an earn while you learn pathway.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
Nick, huge opportunities.
Nick, how does a company, though, let's say a company has for a long time relied on classic human resources, HR work, where they basically go through the resume, they look for the prerequisites, such as college degree and maybe even an advanced degree before they'll even consider somebody, because the old school of thought is that people need to grow up a lot. They need to mature in terms of not just emotionally, but in terms of how they think by getting through college, and that qualifies them for being considered for a job. How does a company transition from that into identifying raw talent, the diamonds in the rough that they can use in an apprenticeship program and develop them over time?
Well, I really think it needs to come from the top down, and the successful employers who are transitioning into these new and exciting vocational models, and apprenticeship is just one, one specific example. These are employers which have a commitment right throughout the company. It's sometimes very difficult if this sort of momentum starts at the grassroots level in an organisation. But I think for astute employers, they're really seeing this as a way they can build competitive advantage.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Human capital is a way that these companies can create something that other companies are going to find hard to duplicate and replicate. They can buy all sorts of other services, and they can have the same offices and the same vehicles and the same online websites. But one area that companies that are really, making some really interesting moves are the companies that are really innovating in this area. So it's a company by company basis, but a lot of these companies are really starting to get out on the front foot. And so I think it's important for people to check in their local communities. And there's a lot of ways that you can connect with these companies. They're active on social media. So, there's great opportunities.
Well, from that standpoint, I was going to bring this up. We've had a few guests on the air that have, in one way or another, reflected back on a quote, and I can't remember the executive who said this. It might have been Bill Gates, but in any case, someone was asked, well, what about all those executives out there that just aren't necessarily tech savvy but have to try to adapt to your programs? And he eventually said, we're going to hire a teenager to sit side by side with every one of them. And so the idea is these young people, they have very little fear about the technology. They'll jump right in there. They'll learn it because it's fun for them, and they've got a lot to bring to the workplace in addition to what the older people can or skilled people can pour into the teenagers themselves.
Well, you make a great point. When I have technological problems with my tablets and varying other things, I actually hand it to my 10-year-old daughter. So I think... no question that, it is often easier for younger people to take on some of this technological change.
Yeah.
But in saying that, my book is certainly not just focused on, people who are leaving school or transitioning from school to work. It's also about the opportunities that exist for people who want to brush up on their skills and really develop themselves. So it could be career changes, a person who might have been made redundant, a person who finds themselves out of work at the moment. There's all sorts of opportunities, and a lot of those opportunities can be undertaken in someone's home. There's all these sorts of interesting online learning programs. So there's plenty of ways that you can develop and brush up on your IT skills.
Yeah, it's a matter of having a little bit of vision about what could be down the road and then matching the right training for that. Folks, we're chatting right now with the author of a new book called Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need, and written by Nicholas Wyman. And Nick, you've got a chapter in here that I think is just brilliant, and that's talking about associate degrees. I think associate degrees are like that misunderstood and underappreciated aspect of higher education.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic option for people to consider. And I think that the number of industries and professions you can actually enter into through a degree is phenomenal. And I think we're starting to see every day more and more opportunities become available. And so one of the things that I've organized is for people who take on the pre-sale offer, buy the book before it's released, I'm actually releasing an advanced chapter and more importantly, some career resources. So for people who are in the job market right now, the book's coming out in January, they're going to say, well, what decisions should I be making, my son or daughter? It's a really how-to, and I think that's really important for people to be able to have a resource and understand the types of options and the types of degrees that are available to them.
Well, it's a great way to introduce the book before it's actually able to come out. And folks, again, the name of the book is Job U. It goes on sale in January in 2015. But if you go to jobubook.com, there's a lot of the resources Nick's talking about here, where you can watch a video of Nick actually teaching some of these concepts, as well as picking up chapters in advance and start the process of understanding better how to develop your skills. With regard to associate's degrees, there are an awful lot of community colleges out there that are great options for people that don't yet know if they want to go on to a four-year school and then graduate school. And again, I want to reflect on this idea of all the debt people are accumulating from traditional, particularly private liberal arts colleges. But when you go to a community college, usually it's a lot cheaper. There may be even better financing options available to you. You get out in just 2 years and start working and maybe finish that career online and paid for by the employer you connect with later on.
Look, absolutely. You know, these are certainly by no means vocational second consolation prizes as
right.
careers.
Right.
These are careers in civil engineering,
yeah.
environmental science, education, healthcare, some really exciting and dynamic careers. And in my own case, I left school, took on an apprenticeship, and as you pointed out at the top of the show, I actually went back to study, but it was the right education at the right time for me. So it was when I felt that I had some skills and some life skills to take on board.
Yeah.
And my higher education experience at that point in time for me, you know, I was able to use my life experience and really get the most out of that experience. So I think that's a really important message for people, that they shouldn't look at any of these pathways as the beginning, middle, and the end. It's most definitely the beginning to someone's career, and you need to keep developing yourself.
Now, are there employers that still help participate in the cost of higher education? So, for instance, with all the online schools that, you know, SNHU, Southern New Hampshire University, here in New Hampshire, Northern New England, is one of the fastest-growing schools in terms of online education in the world. Are employers embracing this and participating and even giving people time to study while they're at work?
I would once again come down and say, well, the astute employers are. You know, there's all sorts of research, and we've all seen it, that says how much it costs to bring a new person into an organization. So for employers who can actually develop and use these strategies a way to not only attract, but retain and develop their existing employees. And I think that's absolutely critical.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to circle back to a concept here. What do you think are some of the, given everything we've talked about now, what are some of the most promising jobs on the market right now that don't necessarily take 4 to 6 years worth of work to qualify for? Something people could qualify for and look for in today's market?
I think there's no question that the technological jobs, jobs particularly in areas like healthcare, we're seeing a lot of jobs being created in aviation, medical technology, and, of course, culinary arts, something close to my own heart.
Oh,
you know, we're seeing
a
real interest in the idea of where food is sourced from, and we're seeing a lot of really innovative programs come up through the ranks where people can specialize.
Yeah.
It's not just about being a line cook or about being a chef. These are internationally dynamic careers where people can travel the world and really experience, you know, what's on offer. As I mentioned before, nursing, environmental science, education. So there's just a whole lot of industries which we're starting to see new and increased momentum, and of course opportunities in advanced manufacturing.
Yeah, yeah. And from that standpoint, it's so diverse that it might be overwhelming to a lot of young people, particularly that maybe soon to get out of college and say, you know, this is refreshing. I don't want necessarily to commit to a four-year degree, but I might do the associate's degree. Nick, where can people, in addition to reading the book, where do you suggest people look to try to track down a lot of these jobs, and where, how do they start?
Well, it really is about, you know, I say research.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the challenges, as you pointed out, there's a lot of information on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, talking to local employers, interacting and creating a professional presence and really networking, talking to employers in your region, the astute and forward-thinking employers will be more than happy to talk to people who are studying or thinking about studying and giving them some ideas.
Yeah.
Finding a mentor, somebody that you can actually talk to and look at an industry that you're working in. And I was asked a question last week about people who take a gap year. I always say that, you know, taking a gap year is fantastic, but if you're going to take on some work, try and get that work in the industry for which it is you're interested in.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you're interested in IT, don't go and get a job as a barista. You know,
right,
try and
right.
get
don't
an entry
bag groceries,
position.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Hey,
we're just about out of time,
yeah. And I got to make sure we wrap it up and point to people where the book is. Again, folks, Nicholas Wyman's the author of Job U, How to Find Wealth and Success by Developing the Skills Companies Actually Need. And if you want to learn more about the book itself, it's a quick one. Just go to jobubook.com, jobubook.com. And it's certainly already showing on Amazon because the book's available in January, and it might be a great pre-order as a gift. But in any case, Nick, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much. I've had a wonderful time talking to you.
Same here. We look forward to having you back. Folks, stick around because Bloomberg Small Business Report is coming here at the bottom of the hour. Then I'll give you a market update before our second guest joins us. Stick around. This is Financial Spectrum.